You're listening to a recording from the Roger Smith Hotel in anticipation of the upcoming Roger Smith Hotel Cookbook Conference taking place February 7th through 9th, 2013.
I'm Andy Smith, one of the organizers for the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference scheduled for February 7th through 9th. We are with Katie Kiefer, who is my co-host for today. Katie?
I'm Katie Kiefer from the Heritage Radio Network, an online broadcasting service. I host Straight No Chaser on Sunday afternoons. And we are here at the Roger Smith Hotel waiting for the conference to begin. And just to warm everybody up for the conference, we are interviewing some of our panelists and some of our guests, talking about the projects that they've been working on, the interesting things that they do in their real lives, and then a little bit about the panels that they're going to be participating in. So with us in the studio right now is Laura Shapiro, who was once a columnist at The Real Paper in Boston. I remember that paper very well, before beginning a 16-year run at Newsweek magazine, where she covered food, women's issues, and the arts. She is a longtime journalist, and her essays, reviews, and features have appeared in many mainstream magazines, The New Yorker, Gourmet, as well as others. And her first book was Perfection Salad, Women and Cooking at the Turn of the Century. So a culinary historian, among other things. And what I most want to tell people about is the incredible project that you have been involved in, sorry, John, at the New York Public Library. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Lunch Hour NYC. It is an incredible exhibit at the New York Public Library on Fifth Avenue and
42nd Street, always been there for more than 100 years. Not the exhibit, but the library. I feel like we've been working 100 years on the exhibit, but it opened last June and will be running through February 17th. We call it Lunch Hour NYC. And in this exhibition, my co-curator is Rebecca Fetterman, who is the culinary librarian at the New York Public Library. We took the history of the midday meal in America and we mapped it on to the history of New York City. To our delight, it really worked. It turns out that those two histories go back and forth and collide and overlap and feed, as it were, each other constantly for well over the last century. And we made all kinds of wonderful discoveries, and we drew on the different branches of the library and all kinds of different collections, many things from manuscripts and archives, from the Schomburg Library up on 135th Street, from the Performing Arts Library. And it really is, I think, for many people who, especially who know and love New York, it's been kind of a trip to memory lane. We hear the most wonderful comments from people as they go through the exhibition saying, you know, I sat at that table. I remember going there. My mother took me there. I ate there with my aunt. And people just are responding overwhelmingly to this exhibition. It's incredibly gratifying. I got to say, more so than writing a book, even though I'll happily go back to writing books.
And you have a horn and hard art automat that is exhibited there?
The automat was, in many ways, the heart and soul of lunch in New York for probably over half a century. It opened in New York in 1912. The last one, which was kind of a sad shadow of its former glory, finally closed in 1991. But in its heyday, the automat really captivated Americans, and it became a symbol of New York, something like the Empire State Building. People came from all over the world to go to the automat, to go up to this wall of glass cases with a little slot next to it. You would put your nickel in, you'd open the door, you would pull out a piece of pie or a sandwich or a pot of baked beans, the very thing you had picked out yourself, and it was just one portion, it was just for you. Cost a nickel, it cost two nickels, you brought it back to your seat, and everyone went to the automat, rich, poor, and everyone in between, and also sort of cross-culturally and ethnically. For many of these years, New York, like many cities, was fractious, and there was segregation in many places, not at the automat. The whole world in all its glory showed up at the automat, so we have captured some of that, we hope, in a big display space at the exhibition, drawing on a wonderful collection at the New York Public Library called the Robert F. Burns Automat Papers. and Robert F. Burns was a lifelong employee of Horn and Hardart. He started there as an office boy and rose up over the years to be a member of the board. The guy just loved the automat, and he collected every piece of paper that crossed his desk and all the photographs and everything else. And it turns out, because of this collection that he then gave to the New York Public Library, it's the best documented restaurant institution in the country, undoubtedly. And, you know, restaurants don't tend to keep their records, unfortunately. But because of this guy, the automat did. So we really could show a great many things from its amazing history.
It's an incredible exhibit, and I encourage everyone to go to that. And I also encourage them to come to the cookbook conference at the Roger Smith Hotel, where Laura Shapiro will be talking about In the Night Kitchen, Why Write Cookbooks for Kids? Why write cookbooks for kids?
That's the very question I want to explore in this panel. It seemed to me something that we all take for granted. Give a kid a nice, wonderful, beautifully written children's cookbook, and you are creating the wonderful cook and healthy eater of the future. It's nice, but is it true? In 1957, Betty Crocker produced the Betty Crocker Cookbook for Boys and Girls. Betty Crocker was the name in food in 1957. A lot of people used that cookbook. Fast forward to the present, and we see the state of home cooking in America today. Somehow it didn't take as widely as we would assume if, in fact, kids glommed onto those cookbooks and it had that effect on them. So my question is, what else is going on when we write a children's cookbook? Who's it for? What kind of baggage does it carry? What agendas does it follow through? It seems to me when we go into the kitchen, in our own home and family kitchens, we're always dragging in a huge amount of emotional, psychological, material baggage. And when we're cooking with children or for children, it's all the more so. So I'm asking my three panelists to think about that and to think, if we can't be sure that we're creating a nation of wonderful cooks with these cookbooks, what are we doing? Why are we writing them?
And why are they still popular? Because certainly as a parent myself, I bought my share of children's cookbooks. And can I tell you, my daughter still does not want to cook. And I am a cook.
Yeah, so a lot
and
of
the
things.
Books are beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have beautiful books for children, and I really do think they are for parents as kind of a sop to the conscience, particularly if you are not somebody who cooks a lot at home.
I thought they were for grandparents to give to grandchildren.
I think you got it right on the nail there, Andy. Absolutely.
Laura Shapiro will be speaking about In the Night Kitchen, Why Write Cookbooks for Kids at the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference, scheduled for February 7th through the 9th. And I had some questions for you. Where are you headed in the future? Now that the exhibit is through, you have plenty of time. And when the cookbook conference is over, I'm sure you'll have nothing to do in your life. So what's next in your agenda? Do you have any next?
I'm sifting through a lot of ideas. You know, the public library exhibition sort of took over my life for 2 years. And when you're working all out on something like that, whenever you get another idea, you think, oh, this is great, I'll think about it in 2 years, and you put it in some mental file, or with me, some messy stack of pieces of paper on my desk that I then probably lose, and now I'm trying to get it back. So what I'm trying to do now that the exhibition is up is gather up all those scraps of paper and see if I can make something of them and create the next project. It took me a while to kind of come down from the high of opening this. It
was. Well, I hope you haven't come down yet. Never. It's still you still should be up there. It's such a great exhibit.
It sounds to me like this exhibit would make a great book.
We have gotten indications of that. People love it, and they say, "Why not a book?" You know, a book is very, very different from an exhibition like this. In some ways, in an exhibition, you touch on it and you give the stories and you sort of, you say this and you say that. A book really goes much, much deeper. It would be a huge amount more research to do on the subject of lunch, which has not received a huge amount. Right. The food research is about dinner.
Right.
Or about food.
Or breakfast too. There's lots on breakfast, lots on dinner, not a lot on lunch.
Lunch has sort of fallen off. So, I don't know, maybe if I were Looking for a great dissertation topic. If I were young and in graduate school, I
would
take it on.
That would be a place to get. So maybe at the library you're going to do exhibit on breakfast, which to me is just as fascinating as lunch is.
Actually, that would be a great exhibit, and it would look completely different, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be totally different. I want to thank Laura Shapiro for coming here for our interview, and Katie Kiefer. Laura, again, will be speaking at the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference. Her panel is In the Night Kitchen, Why Write Cookbooks for Kids. The conference is scheduled for February 7th and 9th here at the Roger Smith Hotel.
And you can buy tickets online at cookbookconf, cookbookconf.com. If you want to see the schedule, buy your tickets, or see who else is going to be appearing besides Laura Shapiro, and who's going to be on her panel.
120 panelists are going to be at the conference.
It's going to be an amazing. I mean, the more I do these interviews, Andy, the more amazing I can see this conference is going to be. So thanks for joining us today, Laura. We look forward to seeing you in a few weeks.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to this interview. Visit heritageradionetwork.org for the complete set of recordings from the Roger Smith Hotel.